Well, before we get started on the message today and get to the word, I have a few, let's just have some fun here. I want to share some little comics with you that I got on the internet, actually from Diane's, I don't know where they came from. So these are called wellness slides. Kenton kind of played right into my thing here about keeping us on our diet and keep us healthy. And so let's look at the first one. We'll just kind of go through this pretty quick. It says, I'm going to order a broiled skinless chicken breast, but I want you to bring me lasagna and garlic bread by mistake. So lady in a restaurant with a waiter. Let's go to the next one. Potato chips aren't rubbery and blubbery like fat. They're crispy and crunchy like lettuce. That proves they're diet food. Chips. You can laugh. It's all right to have fun in church. Go to the next one. If you put a crouton on your sundae instead of a cherry, it counts as a salad. Just a little diet tip for you today. Go ahead. The handle on your recliner does not qualify as an exercise machine. The doctor is saying to this man here on the deal. Go on. I was going to wake up early to go jogging, but my toes voted against me 10-1. Sounds like me. Okay. My doctor told me to start my exercise program very gradually. Today I drove past the store that sells sweatpants. That's a pretty good one. The healthiest part of a donut is the hole. Unfortunately, you have to eat through the rest of the donut to get there. Healthy snacking tips, as you can see there on the side. All right. What fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? Pretty good question, the doctor says to the guy. Go ahead. And this last one, I hope you can see this, is a couple sitting there, as you can see. It says, Judy, do you see that elderly couple down at the other end of the counter? Don't read ahead of me. Yeah, what about them? I was just thinking. That's probably what you and I will look like in about 10 years or so. And then they're looking there, and she says, you do realize that that's a mirror at the other end of the counter, don't you? So little wellness tips. Just wanted to kind of leave those with you for you to be able to get a good laugh at where we're at physically. Diving deeper into discipleship. We're going to talk about a concept that I bring up at least about once a year, because I think it's a grace tip. It's a tip about how to really live life and live it at its fullest state. And I want to talk a little bit about training versus trying. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. In other words, you really can't have Christianity without discipleship. Not really. Because Christianity demands that we become Christ's disciples, that we become like him, that we live like him, we act like him, we talk like him, we become like him in our lives. Now, we know that that's a process, don't we? We're not all there yet. Has anybody arrived? I'm still getting there, and we're becoming like him. But that's our goal, is to become like Christ. Imagine a group of people coming to your house one day and interrupting your Snickers eating, TV watching routine with this urgent message, good news. They come, they've knocked on your door, they come into your house. They said, we're from the United States Olympic Committee, and we've been looking for someone to run the marathon for the next Olympics. Now, how would you like that? Wouldn't that be exciting? And so we have statistics on the entire population of the United States, and we went by all those little tests you took in elementary school, you know, and we have decided that you have the body type, that you have all of the things that it takes, right down to, you know, the current body fat. But we feel like you could be the person to represent the United States of America in the next Olympics to run the marathon. Now, that would be interesting news. I guess if you're a marathon runner, that would be really exciting. And so you get into a idea. You're excited. You're surprised by it at first, of course, because, I mean, the Olympic Committee has come to your house and has chosen you. Whereas you stick the Snickers under the couch and turn the TV off and set up off your, you know, couch a little bit. And you start getting this, this idea about how you could become the next marathon gold winner. They're telling you how you could win the gold medal, and you began to see yourself standing on the platform at the Olympics, you know, and the national anthem of the United States is playing, and you bow down to the guy puts the gold medal. You can just see yourself winning the gold medal. But then all of a sudden, after that first shock passes and those few fleeting thoughts go through your mind, you realize that the probably the furthest you've run in the last couple of years is from the couch to the refrigerator between commercials. And you don't know how you're ever going to become that person that's going to be it. But you allow yourself the imagination that you could be it. You could be the next gold medal winner in the Olympics in the marathon. And all of a sudden you begin to feel this sense of urgency. You know, it'll be your body wearing those little racing togs. I don't know about you, but that's an embarrassing thought to me. Maybe you would fit. Maybe a billion people watching you on television in your little skimpy outfit. But greater than any external pressure, there's this internal drive within all of us that says, this is the race I was created to run. I mean, after all, the Olympic Committee has come after me to do this. You say in your mind, I was born for this moment. This is my big chance. So the race becomes the passion of your life. Everything that you do, every breath you take, every step you make becomes passion filled to become the next gold medal winner of the marathon and the Olympics. But guess what you can't do? You can't stay on the couch if you're going to be in the next Olympics. Somewhere along the line, you and I would have to begin to work out. We'd have to begin to get our entire existence. The reason we get up out of the bed in the morning is to get ready. The reason why we eat the way we eat is to get ready. Everything we do trains us for this moment in time. And yet in God's economy, each one of us have been called to be Christ's disciple and to run the marathon called the Christian life every single day before every person that God puts us in touch with. And then greater than the Olympic Committee of the United States of America, if you've become a Christian, you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you have been called by the Lord of all to run the marathon race of all time. And the gold crown that you'll win one day when you get to that place called heaven, you'll get to lay at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because you ran the race with perseverance. Every one of us have been called to be in that race. And sometimes it's easier for some folks to imagine themselves as a marathon runner in the Olympics than it is to realize that they've been called to be a disciple who is to completely, absolutely devoted to following everything the Lord says. See, we as Christians, many times, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap to think, I want to follow God. But then we never put any effort into it. It's not the passion of our life. We love the Lord. It's not about loving Him. Of course we love Him. It's not about wanting to go to heaven, because most everybody I know wants to go to heaven. You know, every once in a while, just for fun, I ask somebody, would you just like to go to hell? And I've never had one say, yeah, you know, I think I would. You know, it's not a normal answer. Most everybody, even if they're not a Christian, believes they'd like to go to heaven. They may not know what that means, and they may not know what it looks like some of us have studied and understood a little bit about heaven. But most everybody I know, when you ask them, would you like to go to heaven? Yeah, I'd like to go to heaven. But when you say, would you like to run the race that it takes to get there? Well, do I have to give up my Snickers? Now, I've been picking on food and stuff because I've been trying to get in shape, and I need encouragement. So I'm trying to encourage you to encourage me. In the last 2 weeks, I've had to get steroid shots in my back. And the next one is tomorrow. It's the last one, hopefully, for a long time. And so I've been wanting to eat everything that is in sight. Anybody ever had either taken steroids or been injected? I mean, it's just everything looks good, tastes good. And so that's a whole nother subject and I won't go there. But anyway, the truth is that it's like, man, food. And here I am talking about dieting and not eating certain things and you know, and being careful with what we, and man, you know, it's like everything that comes towards me is edible. And discipleship is the ability to walk with passion with Jesus Christ to the extent that you'll make right choices no matter what is coming at you. And our goal is to run the race of faith and to run it with perseverance and with passion. And I must submit to you this morning, church, that as I look at myself and as I look at the Church of Jesus Christ in the sense, especially here in America, we are not passionate like we should be about living for Jesus every day. I'm not talking about loving Jesus. We love him. I'm talking about living for him. I'm talking about denying yourself and take up your cross and follow him. Delayed gratification is not a subject matter we enjoy listening about. It's not about what God wants first and then what we want. We just want everything met. We want to feel good. We want everything to make us feel good and do good. In fact, when people were taking food over for Cindy and her family this last couple weeks, you know, I heard these comments. Well, this doesn't really go with what Pastor Ron's been preaching, but this is comfort food. We like comfort, don't we? We like it. We like it to be life to be easy and life to be enjoyable, and we like everything to be comfortable. The truth is if you want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, it's not always going to be comfortable. It's going to cost you. Because anything worth having costs you something. One place in the scripture it says, I will not make an offering to God that of that which costs me nothing. It is not possible to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ and it not cost you something. It costs you decisions. It costs you making choices when everybody else in your world is going that direction. And God says, I want you to go in that direction. And you must make that choice to be that kind of disciple. It's not that they're wrong and you're right. It's what God is requiring of you at that moment. And that's what makes discipleship so difficult, is because where I'm at in my encounter, in my race, where I'm walking, may not be exactly where you are. So you can't just follow me. Now, there are some things that are general, and you can follow those kinds of things in terms of leaders that lead you. But there are some specific things, what we talked about last week, about the will of God that's good, accepting, and pleasing, that each one of us must personally find for ourselves. We must say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your young person in the midst of a world that's going in one direction. I want to stand up, take a strong stand, and be your disciple and go where you say to go. And that requires something. It requires a lot of us. And anyone that's ever been in athletics, you know that if you want to be the best at something, you can't do what everybody else is doing. You've got to set your passion on that thing. If you ever want to be something or go somewhere, you can't just say, I might just show up there one day. There's got to be a passion in us. And the number one passion that must be in every one of our lives if we know Christ is must be a passion to be like him. Now, in order to do that, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to train to play a musical instrument or learn a new language or run a business. No matter what you set your mind at, no matter what you set your passion at, it takes a devotion to the purposes of God in your life. Now, I'll tell you why that's important. Because this May, 30 years ago, I started pastoring First Church as a staff pastor. I got out of Bible college and I started working in a church in Southern California. And for 30 years, I've been a licensed ordained minister of the gospel. And when I left Bible college, I had a dream. I had a vision. I had an idea of what I thought church was going to look like, especially the churches I pastored. I'm still looking for it. But the passion has never stopped. There's been days I wanted to just say, God, this is not worth it. I want to quit this. And the passion to be a pastor, the calling that God's placed in my life, never goes away. It wouldn't matter where I work. I'm always going to be a pastor because it's the calling God placed on my life. His callings and his giftings are given without repentance. In other words, he doesn't call you and then pull it back. And our passion must be to be everything Jesus has intended for us to become. No matter what your particular call is. I know it's one of the things that my Caleb and I have talked about several times, and in the fact that he sometimes feels like I'm kind of lucky, because I knew when I was 12 years old what I was going to do with my life. God called me to preach when I was 12 years old. I started preaching at 15. I went to Bible college at 17, and I've been doing it ever since. It's the only thing I know. And sometimes people, in their endeavor to find out what it is that God has for them, they're still trying to search that out. And I was blessed by the fact that I knew very early what I wanted to do. And I've said this 1,000 times if I've said it once, but I'm going to say it again and again till we get it. And that is this. God will never ask you to do something until you're willing to do anything. And when you become willing to do anything, then God will give you the something he wants you to do. The first step to discipleship, to true discipleship, is say, God, I'm willing to do anything you say. No matter what the cost, I'll follow you. And when you do that and you submit your life to his lordship and his plan and purpose for your life, then he'll begin to give you the specifics and the somethings that he wants you to do. Many times we're holding on, God, just as soon as you tell me what I'm supposed to do, I'll do it. I'll sure follow you. If you tell me what to do, I'll do it. And the willingness has to be, I'll do anything that you require. I'll sacrifice it all. I'll give up all my own thoughts of what I would like to have aspired in this world. No matter what you require of me, I'll do it. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that if you'll humble yourself before the living God, in due season, he will lift you up. But if we lift ourselves up and try to get our own way, then we'll never make it. Now, this concept of training versus trying comes in this one point that I want to make today with three little subpoints. You got to know the race. You know, you got to know the race. You got to know it. You got to kind of understand where you're going. It's really not that great of an idea to start off on a marathon without kind of knowing where the finish line might be. Because it's what, 26 point what miles? Huh? 26.2 miles. And it's kind of like, it would be nice to know kind of what you're going to be going past. So a lot of marathon runners, when they're going to do a marathon, will go out and they'll drive, or they'll go through portions of that race so that they can know what they're looking at. They want to know the signs. They want to know the spots. They want to know where they're going. And in order to be successful as in the race of following the Lord, we must know the race. A spiritual race is more like a marathon, a long distance run, than it is a 50-yard dash. I know a lot of Christians who can make really neat decisions and run with all their might for about 50 yards. And then it's like, where did the passion go? And the Bible has some things to say about that. I don't have time to develop right now. But it talks about that when it's talking about where the Word of God is planted in someone's heart. And sometimes it springs up quickly and it looks good, but it burns away very quickly because the soil's not deep enough. It's not good enough soil. And so the picture in the scripture is that we need to be the kind of soil in which the Word of God can be planted and that can grow. So we must know our race and know that it's a long distance race. It's not just about today. It's not that if I make a mistake today, the race is over. It's not that if I did really well today, the race is over either. It's about every day doing our best with the passion that God gives us to live our life for Jesus. Now, it's not about making the first decision to follow Jesus. It's about a lifetime of decisions to follow Jesus. Not just that one decision. First of all, of course, it starts with a decision to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. But it's not just that one decision. It's not like get saved and sit down on your suitcase and wait for the rapture. So we got work to do. Jesus is coming and people are going to go to hell if we don't tell them. People are sick and they need someone to step up there and pray for them so that they can be well. There's people out there in bondage. The devil's got them in bondage. And God's sending forth his disciples to speak to those in bondage and say, you're set free in Jesus' name. And know it and understand it. And believe it. You don't have to put on any show. You just have the authority because Jesus is in you. And there are people literally bound up, beat up, broken up, busted up in this world by the oppressions of this world. And God is sending us forth as his people to speak that freedom from that kind of bruising. God has called us to be those that would speak the year of Jubilee, that God has set you free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's not just waiting for a few pastors to preach it. Because I don't know if you noticed this, but there's not a whole lot of people come running in here today to hear me. Just you guys, my family. And so somewhere the message has got to get out of here, out there. And guess how that happens? You. And so it can't just be me having a prayer line or something. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But it's not about that. It's about equipping you and training you and helping you become a disciple so that when you walk into life and somebody presents themselves before you with a problem, you know what to say to them. You know how to pray for them. I'm going to call the prayer chain. That's nice. Prayer chains are good. Thank God for the prayer chain. Amen. But you know what? Sometimes you just need to lay your hands on them and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And then I'll call the prayer chain and follow up. But the truth is that sometimes we as God's disciples need to stand up and be bold and be strong. Don't wait for the preacher to do it. Because there's not enough time for one person to get around or even thousands of pastors around this country. You can't get around to all of that. We must all be his disciples. Amen. So know your race. Know not only that it's not just the first decision, but a lifetime of discipleship. But remember that it's more about becoming than just to have become. It's the process more than just a position. It is a position, but it's also a process. We are people in the making. And we must become people who understand the race. And know that the competition is not against one another. The competition is so that we can become everything God intended for us to be. The race that the Pharisees were on that Jesus dealt with so much was the race of competing with one another to be more the most spiritual. Well, that's futile, isn't it? And much of the church of Jesus today is about coming to the church building and seeing how many sermons we can listen to and how spiritual we can look. While people out there need the message. Whereas the Bible describes the church as a place where we get trained and discipled and prepared so that the saints, that's you and me, can do the work of the ministry. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. Number one, everyone is in the race. There are no spectators in the kingdom's race. Let me just say that one more time so that you catch it. Everyone is in the race. You say, well, I'm kind of old. You're still in the race. You might move a little slower, but you're in the race. You say, well, I'm too young, I don't know much. You're in the race. Well, I'm busy. You're in the race. Because the race is what you do while you're busy. See, you don't like get up one day and put on the Christian clothes and go out and do Christian stuff. And then put on your work clothes and go to work. You just go to work with your Christian clothes on. It's called the armor of God. You just go to work and do what Christians do at work. They work hard. They give their employer a good day of work for the hours that they're paying them for. And while they're there and people have problems, they don't say, well, later on we'll get together and I'll teach you the thing. Just teach them as you go along. Teach them with the way you live. Teach them with the way you talk. Teach them with the way you react. And when you blow it, because you will, teach them how to repent. Amen. Everyone is in the race. Everyone runs. But he says only one gets the prize, and you must run in such a way that you will win. Now what he's talking about here is he's talking about the kinds of people that win the prizes are those who run the way God intends for us to run. Now Paul was obviously talking about some races, probably to certain games. These were games. The Mayan games. I don't know how to say that word. These games were second only to the Olympic games and held in ancient Greece. And so these were held in Corinth. And he's talking about and in that area. And he was talking about these kind of race that people might run. And he's dealing with people who are high level athletes. Paul may have been at these games in Corinth in about AD 51, and Gordon Fee, one of the writers, says that he's probably there making tents and providing tents for visitors and contestants that needed accommodation. So Paul was there doing his tent making job, being an apostle. He didn't like go in the tent like Caleb did last week and come out, pew, apostle, and then go back in the tent and come out, tent maker. He was just the Apostle Paul making tents. And while he was making tents, he was preaching. Because how many know you can do two things at once? And so Paul said, he too had entered a life of training. Now, an athlete back in these days would go on a strict training schedule. And it took 10 months to prepare for the games. And for 10 months, an athlete would give all of their attention to becoming prepared for whatever race they were going to run. Can you imagine? For 10 months, you don't do anything but train. All of your passion, all of your time, every time you get up in the morning, every time you go to bed at night, all you're thinking about is this thing that you've set your word to that you're going to do. Well, God's requiring of us that each one of us live every day of our life with that kind of training atmosphere in our heart. It's not about just grunting it out. It's not just about trying hard. Well, Pastor Ron, I'm just trying hard. No, it's about training. When I coach soccer, one of the little lessons that we used and we learned from other coaches was it's not practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect. I saw people on American Idol, and they get up there and they go, to those judges, you know, but I've worked all year and I've said, and they sound horrid. And I've worked and I've tried and I've just given myself, and you're wrong for not accepting me. And oh my gosh, some of those singers, oof. And I'm wondering what gets into them. And so, but it doesn't matter if you practiced all year long, if you practiced wrong. If you were off key and you were practicing off key and people were saying, you know, you sound pretty good when you don't, it doesn't do you any good. You know what we need? We need to get some Holy Spirit guts and say to one another every once in a while, I'm not seeing in you what I need to see in your growth with the Lord. You're flaking out too much. Every once in a while, we need to go to someone and say, you know what? I'm not seeing what you said you wanted to accomplish in your life. Like Caleb does to me about every week now since we started this diet thing. I didn't see any vegetables on your plate. Well, the other night, this happened at our house. Diane and Jessica and Jennifer, they went out to get pedicures and eat onion rings. And all of a sudden, the two boys show up at my house. And they figured since Mom bought the girls' food, Dad ought to buy the guys' food. So we ordered pizza. But I got the pizza with all the vegetables because I needed my vegetables for the day. You know, the ones with the little green peppers and all that stuff. I don't know if that really worked or not. But every week, Caleb will say, how you doing? What are you doing? Well, I'm not seeing anything coming off. And I said, I'm eating everything I see. It's like, ew, you know, I was doing so well, and I started taking these shots, and now I want to eat everything I find. I mean, it's like, ew, everything is so good looking. It's hard to push the plate away. And it's difficult when we go through the struggles of life, when pressure comes on us, or when something changes, to keep the course, isn't it? But somehow we've got to keep the course in the tough times. Try to get those vegetables in, fruit in, every day. Now, these competitors in Paul's day were working for a crown. They were working for a prize. And I want you to know that our prize is not anything this world could ever give you. There's no accolades of men you could ever receive that would ever pay for the training that we're equipped to do and need to be doing for Christ. The crown we'll receive one day is a crown of righteousness that will be placed upon us when we've been faithful to the end. And the scripture so clearly tells us that we get to take that very crown and lay it at the feet of our Savior. Because if any of us ever make it, it's because He made it in us. And so true discipleship is trusting Him, knowing the race, and knowing that we're all a part of the race. We must practice what we say. If you're going to play the piano, you better practice some scales. If you want to play a sport, you better get out there and practice. You want to be a baseball player, you better go hit some balls and you better learn how to catch a few. If you want to play soccer, you better learn how to kick the ball every once in a while and trap it. You know, one of the things that when we played and coached soccer was that, you know, I'd hear these parents and they would scream, kick the ball, kick the ball, kick the ball. And I was standing on the sidelines and said, don't kick that ball. Get it under control. Get to space. Get your head up. Find out who to pass that ball to. Because it's not just about kick the ball away. It's about doing it correctly. And living the Christian life is just like that. It's not just about wildly kicking at life. It's finding out how to control the things that are going on in your life to become the kind of person God's intended for you to be. Don't let life control you. You take control. You have authority in Jesus' name. You have it. You have the authority. The life doesn't have to control you. You don't have to be subject to this world's order. Those temptations come. You don't have to give in to them. Say no. Temptations to fall into sin come your way. Say, not a chance. I'm a disciple. Thank you very much. Now the next thing, in John 1:12 it says, but to you, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And you and I are God's kids. And one of the things I love about knowing that and why I brought that up at this point is to realize that every one of us in our endeavor to become a disciple are going to make some mistakes. But I want you to know that we have a loving Father who loves us and receives us and accepts us even when we fail. He may encourage us to go a certain way and we may not do it, but He always loves us no matter what. Aren't you glad? Next point. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I love this translation of this passage because it gives the real meaning here. He says, I run straight to the goal. I'm going straight to what God's purposes are in my life. And I have purpose in every step I take. How many of you know if we start living life on purpose, we'll get somewhere? But if we just dodge everything that comes our way and just dodge in, there's no purpose in that. Just look at those things straight up and say, look, I take authority over you. I'm going through you. And take the next step. Amen. It's not merely just about reading enough passages of Scripture or praying enough hours a day or going through certain routines or get to church. It's not if you keep a journal, you get extra credit or something. It's about, I'm in love with Jesus. I want to know everything He has to say to me. I'm so in love with Him, I want to spend time just talking to Him. I love His people and I love the fellowship, and the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of the selves together, but do it all the more as you see the day of Jesus approaching. I just want to get to church every time I can. Go ahead, say, Pastor Ryan, just skip that by. It's about the journey. It's not about just doing things. It's not just starting, it's finishing well. Amen? It's not just about starting. When people start things really well, we're all good at that. But finishing things is a lot harder. I don't know how many times throughout ministry I've started out on something and I think, you know, this is just, people aren't really buying into this. They're not really doing this. And so I think I'll just start deviate. No, you guys stay on the course. If God, you know what? Let me just say this to you. God may change your direction, but He doesn't change His mind. It's not like God gets up one day and goes, you know, I told them to go that way, but I really didn't mean that. And I love it. People come to me all the time. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. And it's funny because some folks really, that's happening. But some folks, they say, God told me I should do such and such. And so they start walking. They get a little bit of turbulence. Pastor Ron, I think God's told me to do such and such. And so they start walking over here. And they get a little turbulence. Oh, I think God's told me. And they're just like this all the time. They're just back. They never finish anything. You know what? When turbulence comes, it's the enemy stopping you from fulfilling what God has ordered you to do and told you to do. God's not changing His mind all the time like that. And I've told people privately, I don't say this too much in front of anybody else ever, but I've told people privately, I said, you know what you represent? You represent a God who changes His mind. And I serve a God who doesn't change His mind. If He's called you, then get after it. And stay after it. And when turbulence comes, stay in there. And run the race with perseverance, with all your might. Push through it. Don't be a wimp. God doesn't need wimpy, crispy Christians. He needs people to stand up for Him and encounter this world. Face up and say, I'm going to make it through this because God who called me is able to sustain me. Yeah, I don't have time for this stuff here. Lastly, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete. Now, the time of the Lord is so funny to me sometimes because I was writing the sermon. I was in Dallas on my study break. I was writing the sermon and the television was on because I just like to have some noise. And I look up. I'm not even paying attention to the TV. I'm writing with all my might and I'm writing along. And I look up at the television and all of a sudden I realize that a movie's on that I like. And I didn't realize that I'm writing about it at the very time. And I didn't even realize. And you know what's funny? It was on last night on cable. The same movie. And so I want to show you a little excerpt from it. Because I want you to know the difference between training and trying. Now let me set it up for you. There's a guy that everybody remembers. Most everybody remembers. He's a famous boxer. He's got a new movie out, by the way, I guess. His name's Rocky. And in this movie, through the series of movies, Rocky has, you know, fought everybody. But in this particular movie, he has trained his former opponent, Apollo Creed, to fight a big Russian. And this Russian is like a machine. He's huge. He works out on the highest grade equipment, as you'll see in a moment. And when they get in the ring, Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago, thank you, are fighting, and Apollo Creed is killed in the show, in the ring, actually. And so now Rocky is going to fight Ivan Drago. This guy right there. And look at the difference in the size. But what I want to show you today is the difference between training and trying. I want you to see something about the kind of training it might take for that guy to maybe win against that guy. Let's see what it looks like right now. Most of us have seen that before, but as you see, is you see somebody training. And the difference between all the fancy equipment and the rough stuff that Rocky's using in that movie shows us that God is not expecting us to do everything with some kind of big fanciness. He just wants us to be devoted. He just wants us to move towards winning our race. He just wants us to give our best and go for it every day. It's not about just starting. It's about finishing well. It's not just about doing things a certain way for a certain amount of time, but it's all of our life, every day, all the way, all sold out for Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with these three thoughts as a way of conclusion. Spiritual disciplines are not a gauge of spirituality. I'm going to be going through in the next weeks several spiritual disciplines for you. And just because you can keep you can read 47 chapters of the Bible every day does not mean you're more spiritual than that one who can't. So spiritual disciplines is not a gauge of your spirituality. I'm more spiritual than you because I go to church even on Wednesday night. Number two, spiritual disciplines are not necessarily unenjoyable. See, sometimes we get this idea that, oh man, I got to read my Bible. Oh, I need to pray. You know, I'm just busy, and you know, I'll pray on my way. And you know, listen, spiritual disciplines are not just about; they're not necessarily unenjoyable. I enjoy reading the Scripture. I enjoy praying. I don't understand all of it, but I like reading it. I love it when every week I get my little text message from Kev's got a scripture. It makes me think about that scripture all day long. I like that. I like the word. I enjoy the word. It's not a burden for me to read it. Now, it would be a burden if somebody said I had to read a certain amount. And to be really spiritual, you got to read that amount. It's not about that. Spiritual discipline is about doing everything the Lord tells you to do in running your race. And thirdly and lastly, spiritual disciplines are not a way to earn God's grace. You don't somehow, because you're disciplined, because you do things a certain way, that now you have more of God's grace in you. God loves you. He accepts you. He receives you. And He even likes you, no matter what. But if you want to be everything God's intended for you to be, you have to have a passion. You see, in the movie clip, Rocky had a passion. And I know it's just a movie, but it shows us a picture of a man who saw one of his best friends die in a ring. And his passion was to win. And if you watch the rest of the movie, what you realize is that not only does he realize that this man is not a machine, but he bleeds. I love it how that guy keeps saying, no pain, no pain. I keep thinking, easy for you to say. But he had a passion to win. And he didn't only win against the Russian, he won the Russian crowd over. His passion was to influence. And our passion must be to influence people with the one who really matters, Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I ask you to bless this word to our lives. Help each of us make the choice not only to follow you every day of our life and be your child and your servant, which is made in a decision of saying, Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior and Lord. But that we would do more than just try hard, but that we'll train to be the sons and daughters of God and be his disciples the way we were intended to be. Lord, may we all be committed to be your disciples. And with great endeavor and desire and passion, train to be men and women of God. And let's stand together, shall we? And let's worship the Lord. That's where worship, that's really where discipleship starts, is a loving relationship with the Savior. And for these next few minutes.